Steve Honigs is in Israel. Let me explain who he is. He's the executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. So he works right here, but he's working on behalf of the Jewish people. And Steve's always approachable to us. He's always willing to come on and give us time. And I appreciate that, even when he's as far away as Israel. Steve, good to have you back on News and Views.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Abby, for working here. And I appreciate the Stevie Wonder music, too. So it's a great pleasure to be on your show.
That's just Abby sucking up. You know that, right, Steve?
Anything for you, Steve.
Listen, it's a great privilege to be associated with such a wonderful musician. Let's put it that way.
Steve, tell people why you're in Israel.
A little bit of background. We're a partner agency of the St. Paul Jewish Federation, and they've organized a trip that is partially solidarity mission here in Israel, partially volunteer, partially let us see some of the sites here in the Jordan River Valley that St. Paul Federation supports. The region is called Sovev Kinneret, the Kinneret region. Kinneret is the Hebrew word for Sea of Galilee. And let's take a minute to consider the following thought, Joel. Here we are in this period of Ramadan. Easter Sunday is, of course, this coming Sunday. Good Friday is Friday, and then Passover is just a little bit outside the Ramadan arc. So in a way, we have this confluence of the three holy days of the three monotheistic religions. And let us use sort of a cleansing thought for a moment of peace for all of us, given the intersection of our holy days. So I hope all of the listeners can just sort of join me in that brief moment. But I'll say we're staying in a hotel on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So, of course, Jesus walking on water. So there's a lot of appropriateness, right, to what we're doing right now. And I'll have the great honor, privilege of spending Good Friday and Easter Sunday in Jerusalem, something I've never done before, to witness one of the two major Christian holy days while in Jerusalem. So, you know, this gives us hope, perhaps, for the future that such things are possible.
So when you look at what is going on between the relationship of the United States government and the Israeli government, it's not in a good place right now. Benjamin Netanyahu threatened to pull the delegation if the U.S. did not veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Your organization, others, you're probably in touch with the Jewish community better than most people I'm ever going to get a chance to visit with. What is their take on Benjamin Netanyahu right now?
Well, let's start with this point of departure, and that is Defense Minister Yoav Gallant met with Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin yesterday, and the first thing practically that Defense Minister Gallant said was to reaffirm the importance of the United States-Israel relationship, and you and I have talked about this before on News and Views, that there is nothing more important from an Israeli perspective, and all Israeli presidents and...
I think we lost Steve. We'll try to connect back with him. It shouldn't be any surprise when you're visiting with somebody from Israel that you might have a hard time, you know, just connecting with them and communicating. Just the sheer common sense and bringing it back to a certain level of discussion is... he amazes me that way. I mean, he does. He doesn't avoid, obviously, the problems and what goes with them. But, Steve puts it in perspective in a sense that you can explain it. And I'm not sure all of us can get that without someone like Steve doing it. So let's tie back with him. Steve, when you look at, you were talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and you were talking about other staff members. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that. There's nothing more important in practically for Israel than a strong relationship with the United States of America between the two democracies, the U.S. and Israel. I was also noting something that's been reaffirmed by every American president since Harry Truman and every Israeli prime minister since David Ben-Gurion. I was noting that squalls between the United States and Israel materialized from time to time, noting Ronald Reagan and the sale of Abex to Saudi Arabia in 1981, issues between President Carter and Prime Minister Begin, JCPOA, the Iran agreement, President Obama, Prime Minister Netanyahu. So we got to keep everything in context. And I know that's the spirit between the two countries. And I was reassured that, as I said before, Defense Minister Gallant and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin were meeting yesterday. That said, that's not a good thing to have daylight between the president and the prime minister. And, you know, of course, we encourage all parties to continue to work together in the spirit of the very important relationship between the United States and Israel. You know, and Israelis and Americans are paying close attention to this, too, you know, people that have concerns about the relationship. So, you know, we hope that the necessary repair work will be done in the months and days and months ahead.
So when you look at what many in America feel right now, because I agree with you, America, a close relationship between the United States and Israel is vital. It's absolutely vital. And it's something I'm proud that we've had for years and I support. But that close relationship is strained right now. There's a lot of Americans that believe that Netanyahu and Israel have gone too far in the Gaza Strip, that the damage, what has gone on should now be backed off, that there should be an immediate ceasefire, and that whatever goals that Israel set out to do to deal with Hamas have for the most part been achieved. And oftentimes, I think also people like myself who would agree with some of that forget about the hostages that Hamas has. And so are we any closer to where we end all this violence?
Let's start with that point of the hostages, because that often is getting lost these days, or the precipitation of the war by the Hamas atrocities of October 7th. The United States has worked very hard through Qatar and other interlocutories in trying to come up with a deal that everyone could work and everyone could accept. And Israel has accepted, I don't know, once, twice, three times. And each time Hamas refuses. And, you know, hard to imagine what you're going to tell Israel to do, given hundreds of its people being held hostage. No country in the world would accept such an outcome. We're here with Rabbi Adam Spilker of Mount Zion Congregation, and I just want to make a point that he's made today on the bus. You know, we have to embrace the wholeness of our humanity, especially at this time, and remember all the innocents who are dying, whether Israelis or Palestinians in Gaza. As we talk about what's happening in Gaza and the necessity for the return of the hostages, we completely agree that it's just awful, the amount of loss of life of Palestinians. But some of that is in the hands of Hamas. Much of that's in the hand of Hamas, Joel. You know, agree to a hostage release. They broke the ceasefire. They could agree to a ceasefire at any time and release the hostages, and we could go back, or the parties could go back to a situation that at least has more stability and certainly end the bloodshed. But the precipitating factor was the Hamas onslaught and atrocities of October 7th.
Totally agree. I mean, that started this. The only thing that I worry about, Steve Hunnigs is with us. He's the executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, Minnesota, North Dakota. The only thing I worry is what's left. You know, Hamas is, you know, what they brought on the Palestinians, you know, they're responsible for. I believe that. But what's left in Gaza and the Gaza Strip after this is done? And I'm not just talking about physically and infrastructure, but I'm talking about, you know, what the attitudes that come with it. I worry that the Palestinians aren't going to blame Hamas. They're going to blame Israel.
It's probably true. Well, that will be nothing new, of course, Joel. I don't mean to be glib about it, but that's been a standard fare since the partition plan in 1947 and other chances for the Palestinians to achieve statehood and all the other opportunities that have come and gone in the interim. Let's look at the kaleidoscope, or the full constellation of what we're looking at, because we're up north in Israel right now, and we've heard two or three people say that they fear that what's coming next is the Hezbollah-Israel war. And if we want to point our fingers in a direction, let's look at Iran. Iran as the, you know, as the gatekeeper, in a sense, for Hezbollah. I mean, there's not much that Hezbollah attempts to do without the permission of Iran. Hamas less so, but nevertheless, Hamas leadership just visited Iran to meet with the supreme leader. Iran is the address of so much nefarious behavior in the Middle East. As I said before, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's to a lesser degree Hamas, but nevertheless a significant degree. And now we have fears of a northern front war between Israel and Hezbollah at the behest of Iran. I mean, you talk about a complicated factor. Whatever you see Israel trying to accomplish, you know it's with an eye towards trying to protect deterrence against Iran, which is an existential threat to Israel. It's also very complicated, of course, Joel. And anybody that tells you that they have some simple answer that ceasefire now is the answer to the situation, of course, is not revealing the entire truth. And the complexity of the situation is that sometimes just mind-boggling.
Steve,
you know, so one other point I want to make. I'm just thinking about this right now. Just to give people sort of your listenership, your large listenership, sort of a sense of things. We arrived yesterday in Israel, and we drove about 100 miles to the Sea of Galilee from Ben Gurion Airport. Think about driving from, say, Alexandria to Fargo, which is maybe slightly longer, 110 odd miles or so. Of course, there you're just driving through parts of Minnesota, parts of North Dakota, through counties in Minnesota and North Dakota, crossing the river, etc. You know, geographically, a very small portion of our country. When you drive from Ben Gurion Airport to Sea of Galilee for 2 hours or whatever it takes, you're crossing about a third of Israel. Okay, so you're talking about a very small dimension. The Sea of Galilee, I looked this up, is about 50 miles in circumference. The Garrison Dam in that area is about 40 miles in circumference. The Sea of Galilee is Israel's major water carrier. The Garrison Dam is impressive and marvelous as it is, just one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of such sites for water in the United States. It just shows you, you're dealing with such small space,
yes,
land. But, you know, I affirm for you, there should be two peoples, two states in this area, as small as it is. I think that's what most American Jews support over the years, including our organization. But it becomes very difficult when one party has consistently rejected it over the years.
Steve, I've got about 10 seconds, but I look forward to visiting with you when you get back. Be safe, okay?
Thanks, Joel, for taking the time. Be well, okay?
You bet, Steve Honig. So, ladies and gentlemen, I worry about people like Steve being safe.